number 275.
Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. I'd like to look at Daniel from him as a young person, and that's perhaps to use to encourage younger ones. But then I also like to look at Daniel as an older person. As I look around, there are many here that are older than I am, so I consider them older. I know some are smiling. Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. There was a brother who was with years ago. I think I was about 25, and he told me he took his daughter to a water slide one day. She was afraid, so he got up with her. Now, he was 40 years old. He said, someone looked around. He heard people yelling, look at that old man up there. He looked around, and he didn't see any old man. And all of a sudden, he go, oh, I think they meant me. So we all look at things from a different perspective, don't we? To Daniel chapter 1. Let me just make a little preface here. This is an interesting book, and I'll digress and share a little bit about history in a sense. There's a brother named Bill Bothwell, some I know, and I remember years ago he said to me, if you want to learn the Old Testament, just remember 606. And that was the advice he gave me, and I had no idea what he meant. And he wouldn't say more to me after, other than that, and he made me think. The book of Daniel happened in the year 606 B.C. Now, I know some of you, your Bible reference might say 607. So some have to, a little bit of discrepancy, or depending on what part of the year, perhaps Brother Bill can tell you more why some have slightly off. But 606 is the year that Nebuchadnezzar, the first Gentile kingdom that God has set up. If you remember the book of Daniel, it talked about four different kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar is the first. And often we think of how Nebuchadnezzar came and he took man away like Daniel. So let's start with the first two verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So we read just that verse. It gave us a time frame. That's how we know it was 606 B.C., because it was the third year reign of Jehoiakim. Second verse said something different than what we normally think. The first verse, we think Nebuchadnezzar just came and he was all powerful and took them away. Second verse, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. I really enjoy that part. It doesn't say that Nebuchadnezzar, the Almighty One, came and took the kingdom away. The Lord gave Jehoiakim to Nebuchadnezzar. If you go into the book of Jeremiah, I'll tell you that the Lord used man like Nebuchadnezzar to be the correction instrument for Judah. Why? We don't know. We don't understand a lot of this. In fact, he tells us, don't worry about Nebuchadnezzar. He will deal with him. So before we even get into that story, one of the thought I have is, do we believe? Now, we say we do. And I ask this is a real question. Do we believe that there is a power greater than what we see before our eyes? That there is a God up in heaven who is fully in control of all situations. And that he allows circumstances that we may think is a terrible thing to happen to his people. Now, many of you know Daniel was a royalty. He was one of the princes. And he got captured, taken captive. Now, with boys, it's hard to describe. I see a lot of girls sitting there, and some of you probably have parents that treat you like princesses. You've probably heard of that, right? And you expect someone else to come along and treat you like a princess. Because as a princess, there are many things you don't want. Got to be the good stuff, right? You want a better life. Well, I think Daniel was probably accustomed to that. But this is terrible. He became a captive. How can it be? He could have been a king or one of the higher ruling party in the country. Now, boys, there's another thing that's terrible. He was made a eunuch. How many guys like to see that? to be made a eunuch. Can't father children any further. Is it bad? I think it's terrible. And this is how this chapter begins. On the one hand, we know that the Lord delivered Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. On the other hand, we see the ill treatment, as if it were, to a young man like Daniel. Now, I know we have many from various places gathered here, different circumstances to our lives, and perhaps some of us feel that we've been dealt with circumstances that are terrible, beyond our control, and how can it be so? Think of Daniel when you got some problems and difficulties. Have we read anything, and you know the story of Daniel, have we read anything about Daniel complaining or complaining with his friends? Right? I know some of you young people stay together. You have, I don't know how many, a number of you in a room. I don't know about you, this generation. Back in my days, I remember when the boys get together, yeah, we talk about things. Some complaints too. But we don't read of that. Here's Daniel. And then Daniel. Oh, I should say this too. How old do you think Daniel would be? I don't know of it. Someone can correct me, but I don't really know. But he was a young person. They want someone young so they can mold them. They gave them the best under the leadership of the eunuch. What they want them to do is teach them all the wisdoms of the Chaldeans. So they want them perhaps to look like a Jew still, but inside, we use the word today, he want them to be brainwashed, to think like a Babylonian. And on top of that, they're given all this good stuff, the best food to eat and so on, so they can stand before the king. It's not much different today. You can't find a good job, but sometimes if you're willing to give up the name of Christ, they can wine and dine you if you're willing to become part of the world. But they were given all this. But you know what's interesting too is even the name. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change the name. I don't know if you're like me. I'm not a very good study of the Word of God. You know, for years I can only think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you think of the name as such? That's not the real name, is it? Even we ourselves get caught up and say, let's call them by the Babylonian name. It's so much easier. It seems to just flow out from the tip of the tongue much easier when they should be called Daniel. This is in verse 6. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Has the world have so much influence on you and I that we, without consciously knowing that, we are taken up, even perhaps the name of this world. Daniel is interesting if you look at, sometimes in scripture, if you look at the meaning of the names, will tell you a lot about them too. Daniel, I believe, means that my judge is God. He believed that God is their judge. For time's sake, I won't go into the rest of the three names. It's interesting for you to look up those names. God has provided Daniel something different. He provided them with companions that think and want to walk the same way, with purpose of heart that we read in that chapter. And their purpose of heart is not to defile themselves with the king's meat. It's nice, isn't it? You know, again, not pointing fingers. Lord provided you two, I think, with companions. When you come to a conference like this, you see that. But sometimes, even at a conference setting as such, we need to be careful, don't we, who our companions are. A good companion would encourage you to go on to serve and walk with the Lord. And sometimes a bad companion can change the result. It's interesting, I just actually heard this story last week. He said, have you ever noticed when you have a bunch of fruits that go bad? And do they sort of go bad here and there? What happens when you put a good piece of fruit next to a bad and rotten one? They often go bad together, don't they? It's interesting, isn't it? So we were exhorted on how we should walk. And temptation is abound. So I just got to buy. I don't see the clock here. I don't want to take too long with this here. So in the first chapter, we find a young man, Daniel. Oh, I'm sorry, I digress the thought. I would think that he's old enough that Nebuchadnezzar wanted him to stand at the court, but young enough that he can mold them. So I look at some. We have children here that are 5, 6, 7 years old. I can picture telling them to stand in the king's court and say things. Well, they'll say things all right, but not the right things, right? So I like to think that he would be at least a teenager. 13, 15, I don't know if it's that much older. And the reason I say that is I look across the room. There are many of you of that age too. Maybe a little bit older, 18. I know some of you, I said hello, and I said, oh, you must be at least 16. And some of you go, no, I'm 23, so I apologize for that. But still, in that bracket, young, young. But Daniel had the purpose of heart, and I don't want to take too much longer. The four of them, because they have the desire to serve the Lord, let's jump down to verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them what? This blessing when we walk with the Lord. They were given the knowledge of skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel, as if he got an extra portion, Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. And that really did come in handy. We see that in the next chapter, that he was able to interpret dreams. Just a side comment, because often we use phrases that we don't think about, and you might already know this. There is a difference between visions and dreams, right? We dream dreams while we're sleeping. That's when dreams happened. A vision is perhaps we're meditating, perhaps we're just sitting still and we see the vision. He had ability for those visions and dreams, and God allowed that for Daniel and his friends. Now, it's interesting to see that the four are mentioned here. We see, as we read further on, there are times that the Lord tests them separately too. Where were Daniel's friend when he was about to be thrown into the lion's den? They weren't there. So the Lord allowed companions for you that we can encourage one another. As iron sharpeneth iron, so is the countenance. I guess I'm not quoting it as the friends. So it's important to have companions that we can encourage one another. But then there are times that we need to stand alone. And the Lord, with the Lord's help, for us to be able to stand alone. So that's my thought, brief thought, with the young people. With Daniel being a young man. Now, just turn to, there's so many instances we can talk about. Let's turn to the sixth chapter. of Daniel. He was to be thrown into the lion's den. We know that. We know the story, don't we? Now, what I want to point out is, at this juncture, we skip a lot of Daniel's history. Some of you may have reference with a date in your Bible. And you may see that chapter 6 would say 538. Some Bible don't have it, but it's interesting to have the reference. At least I find it helpful. I mentioned that 606 was the beginning of chapter 1. 538 is chapter 6. You go, wait a minute, this number is going smaller. How can it be? Well, that's because when you're looking at the old date, this is 606 BC, so for the next year is 605, for the year after that is 604. It goes backwards, right, until you get to, well, I was going to say 0 BC. Well, that's another trick when the numbers, there is no 0 BC, right? So here is 538. That would be how many years later? I got to cheat. I can't do math well. So I think of it as 540. That would give me 66 years. At two more, 68 years later, we're at chapter 6. So just for round number's sake, let's call Daniel at 15 years old at chapter 1. How old would he be when he get to this juncture? 66 years, 68, let's call it 70 years, just for easier math. He would be in his 80, 85 or so, wouldn't he? I would call him an older man by this point. But we still find Daniel to be faithful. These men couldn't find any fault with him except the fact that he prayed. Not only pray, we find that he followed. He knew the word of God because we'll find it in verse 10 there that it says he prayed with his windows open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Oh, Solomon told them that, right? In case if you were taken captive, you are to pray toward Jerusalem. Oh, he's following the word of God. And there he knew. Now, this is an interesting chapter, too, because sometimes we use the phrase, we rather obey God than man. See, Daniel obeyed God and not the king, which I'm not sure if I fully agree with that. Because here, if you read through the commandment is you bow or you face the lion. So the way I put it in my reference is, okay, fine, I'll continue to pray and I will face the lion. He obeyed the king as well, the authority to be at that time. As an older brother, he remained faithful. I quoted this verse in a meeting the other day. I'd like to read it again. Let's go to chapter 9. It gives us a sense of what Daniel's prayer is. And I feel this is very important and it's lacking. And I know in my own life it's lacking. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And by the way, this is the incidents before the prophecy of 70 weeks and so on was given to Daniel. I'm going to read verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Then he said, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. He was supplicating for his people, interceding for them. We just made a comment that no one found any fault with Daniel, but yet we find Daniel confessing. He's confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. Isn't it precious to think that? You know, some of you may not know me well enough. I like to blame people. It's not my fault, Lord. It's that brother. He enticed me into doing so. He forced me. No. Or we may say sometimes, Lord, I don't understand why brother so-and-so would do that. Have we ever find that? And we find, by the way, throughout the Word of God, murmuring against the people of God is a terrible thing. Many people of old got in trouble. Aaron got in trouble for that. Moses got in trouble for that. Right? And many others. He took on. He prayed, confessing as if his own sin. Do we find sometimes that the assembly perhaps take a decision that I don't like? Or a brother did something? What do we do, brothers? Do we pray, commit it into the Lord's hand, confessing the weakness? I said to someone jokingly yesterday too, is that I got another problem. That is, I do learn over time slowly. But then once I learn something, I don't understand why you don't know it. I learned that last week. How come you still haven't learned it yet? That's our problem, isn't it? That everybody should think the way we do. But we don't. We're all different. Right? You think about, we try to make rules so everybody drive the same because we've got the same driving rules. Well, have you ever been a passenger in a car that you think the driver either is driving too slow or too fast? And that the brake pedal on the passenger floor doesn't work? We're different. Look at music. You're supposed to follow the music, though I can't read a single note, right? It tells you how to sing it. Well, have we find that the singing is different, even though there's one set of rules? We are different, and the Lord allows for that. And we've got to understand that. Just so this is not to say anything bad with my older brothers or the older ones, but to encourage us to think that we need, like Daniel of old, to intercede for our brethren. So the young, the old, I'm going to sum it up with one more portion, then I'm just a couple more minutes, and I'm going to sit down. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a portion that tells us how do the Word of God get passed on. I'm not sure if it's a conversation I had or we had in the meeting. I can't remember now. You know, how something that, well, you need to have someone with degrees and so on to teach. Well, this, the apostle tells us, 2 Timothy 2. He's speaking to Timothy, but I believe this truly applied to us as well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. I really enjoy this verse. It's a verse that's been before me the last few weeks. What are the faithful men to do? They are to teach others also. Does it say that one who is knowledgeable, or it doesn't exclude them, but I don't think it says specifically the knowledgeable brother to teach others also. Faithful. Faithful. What does it mean by faithful? You know, there are many words we often use and we don't really think of the meanings anymore. One who has faith. Not just any faith, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right often, actually, a brother showed me an expression that I really enjoy. He said, it's repentance is toward God, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So someone who has faith, where is faith coming from? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faithful men, as I look across the room, we're not going to name people. I see many faithful man in this room. And the responsibility here is for the faithful man to teach others also. Just so you know, that was my view for many years. That's how the words get passed on and taught. But then a thought came. Actually, another brother enlightened me with his thoughts. You look at certain one and say, he is one of the faithful men. But do we think this particular one is going to live forever? Where are the next faithful men? So we speak of the older one to be faithful that we can teach others also. But then as I look around the room, I see young people, younger or older young people, depending on how you look at it. Is the word of God speaking to you that he wants to raise you up to be a faithful man as well if you are not already one? And I want to encourage the younger one that this portion is for you too, that you are to learn from the faithful man so that you can become a faithful man or a faithful woman to be a service for the Lord. And here we see the example is that they can teach others also. Yes, it's not going to be easy if you go through the chapter, which we won't have time to. That's why I go on and say, endure the hardness as a good soldier. It's not going to be easy. Suffering is going to come first when you want to learn more of Christ. But how nice to see. And I see some young people already that I'm trusting the Lord is raising them up to be faithful men.